Let's turn to 71 in the Grace of Glory, 7-1. Hold the fort. Jesus is coming. Amen. Oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing, victory is nigh. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Mighty host advancing, Satan leading on. Mighty men around us falling, courage almost gone. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. By thy grace we will see the glorious banner waving, hear the trumpet blow. In our leader's name we'll triumph over every foe. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. Fierce and long the battle rages, but our help is near. Onward comes our great commander. Cheer, my comrades, cheer. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. Sing it again. Here we go. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. Wait the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. What though the curtains of the night be drawn, and dark the shade wherein God's people dwell, we hear the myriad voices of the dawn, melodious sounds, Jehovah's praise to swell. Awake, ye children of the light, be robed, be ready for the flight. He comes in train of spotless white. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Awake, awake, the morn breaks o'er the hill. The star-swift herald of effulgent day, now haste to banish all the mist that fills the valley of the shadow far away. Away, ye children of the light, be robed, be ready for the flight. He comes in train of spotless white. Behold the bridegroom comes. Up from the grave the dead will then arise, and living saints, quick changed and glistening white, will mount God's chariots in their glad surprise, and with the bride between two rounds of light. Awake, ye children of the light, be robed, be ready for the fight. He comes in train of spotless white. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Eternal joy will wing the saints away. Eternal glory we with Christ will share. Eternal years will span our wedding day within the city, holy pride and fair. Awake, ye children of the light, be robed, be ready for the fight. He comes in train of spotless white. Behold the bridegroom comes. Sing it again. Awake, ye children of the light. Be robed, be ready for the flight. He comes in train of spotless white. Behold the bridegroom comes. Amen. Glory. Wonderful day. Thank you, Jesus. I will bless the Lord and give Him the glory. Oh, I will bless His name and give Him the glory. The Lord is gracious and merciful, great in kindness and good to all. The Lord is righteous in all His ways. Bless the Lord and give Him praise. I will bless the Lord and give Him the glory. Oh, I will bless His name and give Him the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I still feel bad about that. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord, with the heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord, with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. From the beginning, amen. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord, with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. Bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Mighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace, that is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. Amen. Glory. Nothing shall keep me from following you, trusting you, loving you. You are my God, I belong to you. Nothing shall following you. I rest in your arms when I'm tested. You keep me from harm. You are my Father, and I am your child. Love so eternal and true. Nothing shall keep me from following you. Trusting you. Loving you. You are my God. I belong to you. Nothing shall keep me from following you.
I love that. It's got the chorus. It's a commitment.
Thank you, Lord.
It's what it is. If we commit ourselves to do something in the natural sense, that means that we obey and we do what we say. If I agree that I will be on a committee of some kind at a school or whatever we're involved in life, they know that they can depend on that person to be there in that place. And that's what we're going to talk about today, about commitment. What is our commitment? Just what we're saying. Nothing shall keep me from following you. Nothing's going to keep me from following you, Lord. Nothing shall keep me from following you, from loving you, from trusting you. You're my God. I belong to you. Nothing shall keep me from following you. That's a determination that we have to make in our life, because a lot of things are going to come up to try to hinder us. Satan is always on the job, you know, and he's going to try to hinder us from really committing ourselves to the Lord. Glory to God. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on the word. Father, we thank you and praise you that you are here today. Father, nothing that's happened today has happened just without your knowledge. You know exactly, Father, what's going on. We believe you for Sister Phyllis, that she's going to be fine, Father God. You are the faithful Lord. We're trusting in you. We're believing you, Father, for those who couldn't be here today. We know that you're faithful. You're going to help them and their needs and their stresses, Father, whatever it is that they are not here today. We pray, O Lord, that you will just be with us as we're sitting here. Father, that the word of God will go into our hearts and that we will be able to lay hold of this truth, Father, to really give ourselves over totally to the Lord. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you. Amen, Lord. Hallelujah. Commitment. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalms. The book of Psalms, we're going to go to the 37th Psalm. All right, we're going to begin reading with Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, which our world is full of this, isn't it? For they shall soon be cut off, cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Aren't those beautiful words? See, the Lord wants our attention. He wants us. And so he makes these promises to us that he will be there for us and that he will meet our needs in every way if we will just do this. Trust in him. Don't fret about evildoers. Just trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he's going to give you the desires of your heart. But in verse 5, commit
thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. It? What's he talking about? He's going to bring to pass all of the things that he has promised above. He's going to give us the desires of our heart. He's going to give us what we need in our life. We commit our way to the Lord. Now we're going to look at this word commit. It's a good word. In the dictionary, this is what just ordinary dictionary, it means to fully dedicate yourself to something. Like if I promised to be on a committee, I mentioned that a while ago, I committed my word on that, then they want to be able to trust in that person, that that person is going to do what they say. And the same thing with this word commit here, to fully dedicate yourself, I am going to do that. I am going to be faithful. I am going to give my life over to the Lord. I'm going to commit myself. Now, in the Hebrew language, this word means to roll or to trust. Okay, here's the Lord. He wants us to be dependent on him. And yet, you know what our natural self is? To be dependent on ourselves. You know, I can decide this, I can do this, I've got the strength to do this, and all of a sudden we fall on our face because we've all experienced this. Everyone here has fell on their face sometimes. We just try to do something in our own strength, and we're not really rolling it over on the Lord, committing it to the Lord, to trust in him. In Psalm 55:22, it says, "Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer," and that means to cause or allow. "He shall never cause or allow the righteous to be moved." And the word move there means to waver or to slip or to fall down. See, if we're dependent on God, he's holding us up. And he will not permit us to waver or slip or fall down. Yet the devil will come along and say, "You know, account person, you're not doing the right thing." You see, that's the devil speaking. He's a liar, isn't he? The Lord will never allow the righteous to be moved. And in Psalm 37:5, let's go to verse 5 there again. "Commit thy way." Your way, what is that? That's the road that you're traveling, the course of your life, the journey, whithersoever you go. That's what it's in the concordance, that's what it says. Your way is the way you're being led, the way that God has ordained for you. Praise the Lord. And so if we commit that to the Lord, he's going to take care of it. We can trust in him. We can put our trust in him. And he is going to bring it about. He brings peace. You know what Romans 8:28 says? "For all things work together for good." We know, he says. Do you know that? That all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, for those that are called according to his purpose. We're called on a certain path. And on that pathway, our way is committed to the Lord. He's going to guard us and take care of us and lead us down the right road. Our place is to let him do that. Be willing to go where he wants us to go. And what do we call that? Submission to God's will. Submission to God's will. Not our will. Not what we think is best for us, but what God knows is best for us. Sometimes it's not very pleasing. Sometimes it is really kind of hurts us. But it's all important. And Jesus spoke in the New Testament about the sheep that would follow the shepherd. See, that's what it means to commit your way to the Lord. Follow the Lord. Follow the shepherd of the sheep. He's going to lead us in the right way. Let's go to chapter 10 of the book of John. Chapter 10 of the book of John. That's where it talks very much in this whole chapter about how that he's the shepherd of the sheep, and the sheep hear his voice, and they follow him, and how he's protecting them and taking care of them. Hallelujah. It's really a wonderful. In verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So remember that when the enemy comes against you, remember that your shepherd is right there with you. The shepherd is protecting us. And nothing can come our way unless the Lord allows it. And so our part then is to let the Lord govern and let him control everything and follow him. Follow his footsteps, as he says in verse 3. To the shepherd, to him the porter openeth. That means a guardian that's at the gate of the sheepfold. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his sheep, calleth his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He's leading his own sheep. Notice the sheep hear his voice. Now, we know how naughty the sheep are. I hope all you know that sheep are not very obedient. They will do what they want to do. They'll run away. And sometimes if there's a herd of sheep and one jumps off the cliff, all of them will jump off right after him. They don't have, it seems like, quite good sense, we might say. Well, that's how we are. We have to follow the shepherd. We need to be committed to the shepherd, to obey him. The word commitment it means dedication. That's why one of the meanings is dedication. That's why that word is up here on the bulletin on our board. So dedication or loyalty to something. You're going to be loyal. That's what the Lord wants. He wants us to listen to him and be loyal and follow him. Commit ourselves to the Lord. And he was going to bring it to pass. In verse 4, he says there, when he putteth forth his own sheep, speaking of Jesus, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They're committed. They follow the shepherd. Except sometimes when they're very naughty, and they can be. They will just run into fences and all other kinds of things. But the shepherd is guarding the sheep, and our loyal shepherd never gives up. He's always there with us and present. Don't let the devil tell you that God is not with you or whatever all that other stuff he says. He is a liar from the beginning. We have a wonderful shepherd. And our way is in him. Our way is committed. Praise the Lord. That's what God wants for our life and our attitude toward God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Commitment in relationship to him. Praise the Lord. I was thinking about how a man that's going to get married or a woman that's going to get married, they are committed to the fiancé. That's what should happen, okay? That means more to please that person than to please the mother or father or whoever else relatives that may be trying to have a say in it. And that's the way that the Lord loves us. He's committed to us. But the question is, are we always committed to him? Are we willing to follow him and let him be the one that is in control of our lives? Yes. Often after the marriage ceremony, the commitment is forgotten. And the persons don't follow that. Does our Lord ever do that? No. His vows toward us show his faithfulness to us. He never will fail us. He never will leave us. He is always going to be helping us. Oh, we need to just lay hold of that. It is so true. Praise the Lord. He is the committed shepherd. Glory to God. They know his voice because he's always right there just waiting for them to listen to him. So our commitment is far greater than a marriage commitment. To God, everyone that knows Jesus ought to have a commitment toward God. Letting God be the predominant thing that we care about in our life. That we love Jesus more than we love anything else in life. A commitment to us, constant and eternal. The commitment Jesus has for us. And our commitment is essential to us as a Christian, and we will be rewarded for that. The Lord's going to bless those who are committed to Him. You know what? As we've had, He's going to have a bride. And those people that are in that bridal company are going to be those saints of God who are committed. They are committed to God. They are wanting His best for their life, and they want to hear His voice. They want to be led by that voice. That's true commitment. There are 17 times in the Gospels that Jesus spoke of rewards. This will be your reward. This will be your reward. The rewards in those places are speaking of service, either of being faithful or unfaithful. He wants us to be faithful to Him, have a commitment. Like when some of us are married, like when we committed that we would be faithful to our spouse. As long as we both shall live, we said. And so the Lord wants us to have a faithful, committed, a commitment to Him. And the rewards of being faithful to that commitment are these things. Recompense. What does that mean? Recompense. In other words, the Lord's going to pay us back for things that we suffer. He gives us more grace. He gives us more strength. He helps us in all of our needs. He supplies what we have need of. In my lifetime, I've seen the Lord supply for us, for our family, and things which seemed impossible. My husband was on Social Security disability at one time. And you know what? He stayed on it only a year. Because he got better, but it was declared that he would never be better. But God had a plan, didn't he? And so we trusted in the Lord God, and He recompensed. And another word that goes with this is rewards. This is the word reward. And it says there that every man according to his works, in other words, according to how much you let the Lord work in your life, because it isn't really our little pusillanimous poor works that are not suitable, but it's letting the Lord work in our lives and letting our commitment to God to be strong. That's going to be rewarded one of these days. And Apostle Paul was surely an example of commitment, wasn't he? In the New Testament with the Greek that the New Testament was written, and the word commitment means to be dedicated to a cause or activity, and it also means a dedication or obligation that restricts freedom of action. In other words, I have committed my life. I hope you can say this. I have committed my life to the Lord. So because I have committed my life to the Lord, then I want to follow God. That's restricted, see. I'm not going to go out and be attached to the world and all the junk out there. I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to yield myself to God. I'm going to be committed to God. And Paul was certainly committed wholeheartedly to the Lord, wasn't he? But at one time in his life, he was a rejecter of Christ. And I would like to turn there in the book of Acts, chapter 8, in the book of Acts. Apostle Paul was there when dear Stephen, the man of God, was preaching, and they had thrown him outside the city, and they were getting ready to stone him to death. And Apostle Paul was holding the coat. See, he was so self-righteous, he wasn't going to throw a stone, but here, let me hold your garment for you while you do the job. And so in God's sight, he was guilty. And one of the things that he did was just to go forth, and he got permits to go into the Christian's home and just destroy them, take them to prison, have them killed, whatever. It was just horrible, wasn't it? See, he was committed to that. And we find this in the book of Acts chapter 7:58, it says, and they cast Stephen out of the city, they stoned him, And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And if the Lord could take Saul and change his attitude of commitment, I think he can almost do it for anybody. Can't you think that? I don't think it's a good statement to say, I think he can almost do it. I think he can do that for anybody. He can take anyone who is rough and maybe even killed other people that were Christians, like Saul did. Going in chapter 8, that it said, Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church. He had a commitment. He was going to destroy the church. Isn't that something? And that word havoc, I looked that up, and it means to count as filth. To him, Christianity was a filth. It was dirty and nasty and wrong, and he was going to get rid of it. He wasn't going to have it there. And so he entered into every house that he knew was a believing group of people, and hailing men and women, he committed them to prison. So how can the Lord ever make anything out of a man that's so mean, that's totally committed to killing Christians? Something, isn't it? Praise the Lord that God can do anything. Paul was committed. Of course, his name was Saul at this time. That means he was given over to it. He was yielded up to it. He was surrendered to it, to this ungodly thing he was doing. But praise the Lord. Acts, chapter 9, gives us of the way that God converted him. He knocked him off his horse. He knocked him down on the ground. And when he looked up, he realized he was looking at Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord that God can make changes in our lives. Oh, hallelujah. Can't he? Has he changed your life? He's changed my life. Over the years, trials and tests and things that we've gone through, the Lord did work. And that's what he's continuing to do. He's working on each of us to change us. But the thing is, we've got to be committed to God's will. We need to be, here I am, Lord. Here I am. However you want to use me, whatever you want to do with my life, I surrender. I give it to you. I dedicate my life to you. In the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, let's look there for a moment and just see of the things that Apostle Paul was dedicated to. The things that he suffered. When he dedicated his life, do you think he really knew that all this was going to happen to him? I think he went out with hope that people were going to hear him, going to listen to him, and it was going to be that they were all going to get saved, everybody was going to be greatly blessed. But he suffered so much. And in this 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse 23 through verse 31, he mentions some of the things, and I'm just going to read these to you. You can read along there with me, too. Are they ministers of Christ? He was talking about some others that were proclaiming they were ministers of Christ. I speak of a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. He was beaten many times with stripes. In prisons, more frequent. In death, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. I was reading about that online. And they would take these sticks that were really hard, and they would just beat them and beat them and beat them with those sticks everywhere, and eventually kill most of the people that they were beaten with. But think of Paul being beaten with rods 3 different times. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. We only have evidence in Acts of 1 shipwreck. but three times he was in shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, floating around out there, trusting the Lord to get me to the land. In journeying often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen. Perils. Yes, that means terrific trials and dangers. That's what he was going through. In perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, the Gentile people, in perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hungers and thirsts, and fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Beside all these things, they that are with, that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. All of those things. Have any of us here ever suffered all that? I haven't. No, none of us have gone through all of that. Yet he was a great example because he kept on going. He kept on going. When he finally was thrown into prison in Rome, it was a horrible place. You can read online things like this where it tells where the prison was and how what condition it was in. And there he was waiting on the Lord. And history, they think he was out of prison for a while and then he was rearrested. But history also says that he was beheaded for Christ. The reason he wasn't put on a cross is because he was a Roman citizen. So he got the chop instead of the cross. But these are the perils, the dangers that he was submitted to. But he was completely committed. He didn't stop. He didn't say, well, they're treating me bad. I'm going to leave. I'm going somewhere else where I'll just sit in one place. And if people want Jesus, they can come and talk to me. He didn't do that. He committed himself to the Lord. And what does he say? To follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me. Be committed to what we're doing, what the Lord has called us to do. Do it faithfully. Be faithful to it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just love that, that he was so faithful. Yes, so he's an example. We have a term that we use quite often, and it's a full overcomer. What does that mean? What does it mean to be a full overcomer? It means, like Apostle Paul, that whatever came, just whatever came, one way or another, he was committed. He followed. He did what the Lord asked, even when it meant getting stoned to death at one time. They left him for dead, and the Lord raised him up. So it means to fully overcome whatever it is that is going on in our life. And every single one of us here has trials. There's not a one that doesn't have some kind of trials that you have to go through in life. And sometimes they're very, very unjust, and you just think, well, why on earth did the Lord allow that to happen to me? But he is working through these trials to make us an overcomer, a full overcomer, one that is overcoming everything daily. And it is a daily process, isn't it? So when you're in that kind of trial and you just feel so distressed, just call out to Jesus. Just help me, Lord. Get me through this. You're faithful. I know you are. I have committed myself to you, Lord. And I want you to work in me. And you know, it's so marvelous, the comfort that the Lord gives us. I think all of you have probably experienced it, but I just thank the Lord every day for the comfort that he gives us when we're so in trial and test. And in closing, we're going to look at one verse of scripture in Philippians 4:13. And I just love this because this is the words of Apostle Paul. And right at the moment he is writing this, he is in prison in Rome. And yet he can say this. Ask yourself, as we're reading this, Lord, I'm not in the prison in Rome. I'm not having to suffer with eyesight problems and dependent on other people, and I can't go out and minister and all this stuff, Apostle Paul. But Lord, my trials are just so great. Apostle Paul could have really said that. He could have given up, but he didn't give up. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now notice, he didn't say, I'm strong enough and I will be an overcomer. We're not strong enough. We're not able enough. Satan's power is great, and he will just talk and say all kinds of stuff, right? Yes. But praise the Lord for the victory in Jesus Christ. We fall on him, and what does he say? It's through Christ. It's through Christ which strengthens me, not my own self. Praise the Lord. Be an overcomer. That word, in 12 verses of the Bible, the word overcomer is used. And the word means in the Greek to subdue. In other words, we have the victory over something. We're going to be a victor. It means a conqueror. It means to prevail and get the victory. The word overcometh is 11 times in the Bible. And it is the act of overcoming. In other words, he that overcometh will I give this reward, the word says. Overcoming, the act of overcoming, of being totally committed and dedicated. A total commitment is what dedicated means, to be totally committed. I hope everybody here has told the Lord, I want the very best you have. The Lord's going to hear that, and the trials are going to come, because when the trials come and we overcome them, that's what he wants. He wants to see us to grow and to take the trials that come from his hand and rise up above them. Praise the Lord. Have a commitment to be an overcomer. Praise the name of Jesus. We're going to sing a song. And if you have any needs, you want to come forward to pray for prayer or anything like that, please do that. You want to pray at the altar, feel free to do that.
Stand and turn to 271 of the Grace and Glory, 271. That's good. Where he leads me, amen. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, with him.